Your call. Miller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be suspended and the Sergeant-at-Arms be requested to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Reverend Sarah Morris from the Hazel Park Congregational United Church of Christ in St. Paul. And after the prayer, remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Afternoon already, yeah.
I know, right?
Time flies.
It does when you're having fun. Good afternoon. Let us take a moment to pray. God of love and compassion, we gather in this chamber during this special session to represent the voices of many who have endured so much and have lost so much. Knowing that this alone can be an arduous task, we ask for grace and patience, a listening ear, and a voice that carries responsibility and courage. In our proceedings this day, may your wisdom-filled ways be reflected through our actions. May we seek understanding rather than resentment, and may we find ways to show compassion to our neighbor. May these leaders who are gathered here be inspired to deal respectfully with the resources of the planet, to build a better world, a world with a home for everyone, a world with food and work for everyone, a world with spiritual freedom for everyone. God of many names and cultures, God of many traditions and ways of living, we pray in peace and love. Amen.
Now we'll turn around. I pledge allegiance to the flag indivisible. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Because a special session, we'll have to take the roll by legislative districts. Secretary, take the roll.
First District, Leroy A. Stumpf. Second District, Rod Skoy. Third District, Tom Saxhog. Fourth District, Mary Olson. Fifth District, David J. Tomasoni. Sixth District, Thomas M. Bach. Seventh District, Yvonne Pretner-Solon. Eighth District, Tony Laurie. Ninth District, Keith Langseth. Tenth District, Dan Scogan. 11th District, Bill Ingebrigtsen. 12th District, Paul E. Coring. 13th District, Joseph R. Gimsey. 14th District, Michelle L. Fishbach. 15th District, Terrell L. Clark. 16th District, Lisa A. Phoebe. 17th District, Rick Olsen. 18th District, Steve Dill. 19th District, Amy T. Cope. 20th District, Gary W. Kubley. 21st District, Dennis R. Fredrickson. 22nd District, Jim Vickerman. 23rd District, Kathy Sharon. 24th District, Julie A. Rosen. 25th District, Kevin L. Dahl. 26th District, Mike Perry. 27th District, Dan Sparks. 28th District, Steve Murphy. 29th District, David H. Senjum. 30th District, Ann Lynch. 31st District, Sharon Erickson Ropes. 32nd District, Warren Limmer. 33rd District, Jen Olson. 34th District, Julianne E. Ortman. 35th District, Claire A. Roebling. 36th District, Pat Parisot. 37th District, Chris Gerlach. 38th District, Jim Carlson. 39th District, James P. Metzen. 40th District, John Dahl. 41st District, Jeff Michelle. 42nd District, David Hahn. 43rd District, Terry Bonoff. 44th District, Ron Latz. 45th District, Ann H. Rest. 46th District, Linda Scheid. 47th District, Leo T. Foley. 48th District, Michael J. Jungbauer. 49th District, Debbie J. Johnson. 50th District, Satvir Chaudhry. 51st District, Don Betzel. 52nd District, Ray Vandeveer. 53rd District, Sandy Rummel. 54th District, John Marty. 55th District, Charles W. Weger. 56th District, Kathy Saltzman. 57th District, Katie Sieben. 58th District, Linda Higgins. 59th District, Lawrence J. Pogemiller. 60th District, D. Scott Dibble. 61st District, Linda Berglund. 62nd District, Patricia Torres Ray. 63rd District, Ken Kelash. 64th District, Richard J. Cohen. 65th District, Sandra L. Pappas. 66th District, Ellen R. Anderson. 67th District, me, moi.
Okay, we allowed you children to talk quite a bit there during the roll call, but that's going to stop going forward. Quorum is present. There's a proclamation signed by the governor that's on the member's desk. Senator Pogemiller. Senate Resolution Number 1 to be read.
Senate Resolution Number 1, a Senate resolution relating to the organization and operation of the Senate during the special session.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move the adoption of Resolution Number 1. It's a boilerplate related to the special session.
This one has a roll call. Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary, close the roll. There being 66 ayes, 0 nays, the resolution is adopted. Resolution number 2 at the desk will be read.
Senators Pogemiller and Senjum introduce Senate Resolution number 2 relating to notifying the House of Representatives and the Governor that the Senate is organized.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move adoption of Resolution Number 2.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Resolution is adopted. Next order of business is introduction and first reading of Senate bills.
Senators Lynch, Scogin, Dahl, Perry, and Rosen introduce Senate File Number 1, a bill for an act relating to disaster assistance, etc.
Mr. President.
First reading of Senate bills.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to Senate File Number 1, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give Senate File Number 1 its second and third reading and placed on its final passage.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Second reading.
Mr. President.
Second reading, Senate File Number 1.
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 1 be laid on the table.
On the motion to lay on the table, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Continuation of introduction and first reading of Senate bills.
Senator Dibble introduces Senate File Number 2, a bill for an act relating to education, creating the Minnesota Safe Schools for All Act, etc.
Without objection, this will be referred to the Rules and Administration Committee.
Senators Berglund, Pappas, Moi, and Dibble introduce Senate File Number 3, a resolution memorializing the President of the United States and Congress to review the FBI raids on Minnesota activists.
Without objection, the resolution will be sent to the Rules and Administration Committee.
Senator Berglund introduces Senate File Number 4, a bill for an act relating to insurance coverage, requiring the Commissioner of Commerce to establish an open enrollment period for child-only health plans.
Without objection, the bill will be referred to the Rules and Administration Committee.
Senator Berglund introduces Senate File Number 5, a bill for an act relating to public health, requiring the Commissioner of Health to research and report on autism, etc.
Without objection, the bill will be referred to the Rules and Administration Committee.
Senator Senjum introduces Senate File Number 6, a bill for an act relating to disaster assistance, authorizing spending to acquire and better public land and buildings and other public improvements of a capital nature with certain conditions, etc.
Without objection, the bill will be referred to the Rules and Administration Committee. Senator Pogermiller.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, the plan would now be to break for caucus. Hopefully that will not take too long. I believe that the other body caucused before they are coming into session, so when they do come into session, hopefully they will process fairly quickly. And so if we hear while we're in caucus that they're almost done, then I think we should come on back up. But, you know, hopefully we would be done by caucus by quarter to two, Senator Senjum, half hour-ish. Okay, we'll keep in touch, but hopefully about that long. I think Senator Senjum is going to be in room 107, and the majority caucus will be in room 112. So I'd move for a recess to the call of the chair, roughly around a quarter to two.
On the motion to recess to the call of the chair, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands in recess. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and a sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Under motions, revert to messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform you that the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota is now duly organized for the 2010 second special session pursuant to law. Signed, Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file, herewith transmitted. House file number 1, a bill for an act relating to disaster assistance, authorizing spending to acquire and better public land and buildings and other public improvements of a capital nature with certain conditions, etc.
First reading of House bills.
Mr. President.
House file 1, a bill for an act relating to disaster assistance, authorizing spending to acquire and better public land and buildings and other improvements of a capital nature with certain conditions, etc.
First reading. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to House File 1, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give House File 1 its second and third reading and placed on final passage.
Okay, on the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
House File 1.
Second reading.
Mr. President, then
Senator Pogermiller.
I would just yield to Senator Lynch.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. President. We are here today with House File 1. And let me just begin by saying, if there was a bill that was ever indicative of our work as state senators, if there was ever a bill or an opportunity to present how collectively we can all work together for the benefit and the good of Minnesotans, I think you're going to find that in House File 1. House File 1 has three different articles. Article 1 has to do with this most recent disaster federal declaration concerning the severe flooding in southern Minnesota. Article 2 has to do with a federal declaration surrounding tornadoes and storm activity that occurred at the end of June, commonly referred to as the Wadena section. And Article 3 has to do with the funding mechanism contained within the bill. And what I'd like to do, Mr. President, is I will discuss and provide some background on Article 1. I will then yield to Senator Scogin to provide further detail on Article 2, and then we will discuss the third article. So to begin with, in Article 1, on September 22nd, began a widespread heavy rain event causing severe and tragic flooding in the southern third of Minnesota, covering approximately 35 counties. And while southern Minnesota has been no stranger to severe flooding, this rainfall was unprecedented for the area. It fell on ground that was already saturated and in many cases had no place for the excess to go. Over 10 inches fell in some Minnesota communities. Many of the impacted counties experienced damage in the same areas that were affected by spring floods and summer tornadoes. I think a good way to put this into perspective about what we're talking about today is I'm going to read off a list of members of this body who have communities impacted by the legislation before us today. If you're on this list, your district is included in either Article 1, Article 2, and in some cases, both articles of this bill. Senator Kevin Dahl, Senator Erickson Ropes, Senators Fredrickson, Kubley, Murphy, Perry, Rosen, Senjum, Sharon, Skoy, Scogan, Sparks, Stump, Vickerman, and Lynch. We have an opportunity today to be the voices for all of these communities collectively. Prior to the official damage assessment, it was estimated that more than 650 homes were damaged. Some of the most concentrated areas of damage included the counties of Blue Earth, Goodhue, Martin, Olmsted, Rice, Steele, and Wabasha. There was a tremendous amount of infrastructure, roads, bridges, and public facilities that were damaged and impacted by these events. Propane tanks were ripped from their moorings and displaced. Nursing homes were evacuated. In some cases, in the community of Zumbro Falls, essentially their entire business district was wiped out. I think I'd like to just spend a minute talking a little bit about Zumbro Falls. Zumbro Falls is a very small community along the river. What I noticed most when I arrived in Zumbro Falls was that, and what I quickly learned, first of all, I went to their fire station and I could see the water line, and the water in their fire station was well above my head. And then I learned that their volunteer firefighter organization has 22 firefighters protecting the area, 132-mile square area they're responsible for. And then I learned that seven of the firefighters' homes, one of the firefighters' businesses, were destroyed. Then I had a better understanding of the magnitude and the devastation that was facing their community. And while I cite Zumbro Falls, there were similar stories in Hammond, in Truman, in Orinoco, in Pine Island, and all across southern Minnesota. I'm going to direct your attention now to page 2 of the bill. At the top of page 2, on line 2.1, it gives you the financial implications of this portion of the bill. There's some $32 million from the general fund, $26 million in bond proceeds, an additional support from the Trunk Highway Fund and the State Transportation Fund. Article 1 of the bill, again, mirrors legislation from the 2007 Flood Relief Bill and also contains provisions that collectively as a body we put together in relatively recent legislation, Minnesota Statute 12A, which is the Natural Disaster State Assistance Statute. And collectively, those two documents were what we used in putting this bill together. Important for you to understand, it was the desire of many in this body and the desire of the executive to work in an expedited fashion to be able to bring this legislation forward today. And the bill was put together in part by members of this body, members of the House, and members of the executive office in a very bipartisan fashion. Various provisions in Article 1, beginning on line 2.23, is an appropriation providing the state and local match for public safety. It's $10 million in general fund, $2 million in bond proceeds. The bonding monies will provide for publicly owned capital improvement projects throughout the disaster assistance area. Section 4 of the bill, line 3.8, is $15 million to the Department of Transportation. This is going to provide monies from the Trunk Highway Fund to repair and maintain highways, and $10 million from the State Transportation Fund for local bridge rehabilitation and replacement. I will point out to you on line 3.3 and 3.31 in this bill, I call it the Senator Murphy provision. This is something that we learned from legislation in 2007 and from the communities that we sought to help in 2007. One of the unnecessary, if you will, hurdles that many of those communities had involved necessary demolition and design costs so that they could get their infrastructure up and running again. And so we sought to clarify that and provide for that in this legislation. Moving on, page 4 of the bill, the Department of Employment and Economic Development, there's a $10 million appropriation there that goes from the general fund to the Minnesota Investment Fund. This will provide grants or loan programs for local units of government. And if I may, this provides for the opportunity for economic development and to support our business efforts in the communities impacted by these floodwaters. Section 6 of the bill is an appropriation for Public Facilities Authority. Again, tremendous amount of damage to infrastructure, and this has to do with water and sewer. Section 7 of the bill, line 4.22, is $4 million to the Housing Finance Agency. This will provide, in part, some housing assistance to residents that have been affected. Individual residents will be working in conjunction with the SBA with some loan opportunities. I will take this time to mention, some of you may have heard, you may hear from your constituents, as a part of our FEMA declaration, we were deemed ineligible for individual assistance. This is different than what, by way of example, that Rushford experienced in 07. So there is aid to individual homeowners contained within this bill. The best thing for those individuals, I think, to know and understand is there are 3 SBA outreach centers that are being opened up in southern Minnesota. One in Mazeppa, one in Truman. The third one is escaping me. Perhaps I'll run across it. But I think that that's a really good opportunity for your constituents to get additional information on what this means to them as individual homeowners and how they can best get the assistance that they need. The experts are there that can help them walk through this process. The next section of the bill is Section 8, line 5.18, the Minnesota Historical Society. I referenced Minnesota Statute 12A, and this provides for monies to the Historical Society to assist with preservation, cleanup, renovation, repair, and replacement, if necessary, of historic structures. Section 9 of the bill is Department of Natural Resources, $14 million. There's money for facility damage, flood hazard mitigation grants, flood response and recovery. Subdivision 5 has to do with dam renovation and removal. I will just point out 6.20. that is a change or an addition, if you will, to what you would have seen in 2007. Frankly, there wasn't a dam structure that was impacted in the 07 legislation. So we are seeking to give some assistance to the city of Orinoco and Olmsted County with their dam renovation. Section 10, Board of Water and Soil Resources, a $13 million appropriation. $10 million of that is in the form of bond to RIM, Reinvest in Minnesota. I'll provide some brief comment here on RIM. This is a conservation effort. In part, this bill uniquely focuses those RIM dollars on exclusively on those areas designated within this federal disaster declaration. It also provides up to 10% of this appropriation may be used by the board for eligible capital costs to implement the program. And we were also, portions of that program will be eligible for a higher federal match than would otherwise have been provided had they not been in a federal disaster declaration area. Line 7.17, again, under the DNR, Erosion, Sediment, and Water Quality Control Cost Share Program. Section 11, page 8, is a $4 million appropriation requested by the Department of Agriculture to assist in those activities. Section 12 of the bill, line 8.2, is money for education. This is reflective of the type of relief that was provided, again, in 07, has to do with enrollment impact aid, some relief facilities grants, and some pupil transportation aid. Section 13 on line 9.13 is a small appropriation to the Department of Health to provide for some public health activities. Section 14 is language regarding the Pollution Control Agency. And this is simply clarifying or pointing out that there's $400,000 in the Petroleum Tank Release Fund that can be used to deal with contamination of property that was damaged by a petroleum tank release. Subsequent sections, beginning with Section 15, deal with expenses and authorization of the bond sales. And I'm going to move you forward to page 13 of the bill, which is Section 18. Has to do, Sections 18 through 22 have to do with the tax implications of this bill, specifically to the tax implications for individuals and communities involved. There are three communities that will receive tax-based replacement aid. Those are the communities of Zumbro Falls, Hammond, and Truman. I'll point out that those designations, once again, were designations that were part of the FEMA declaration. That means in those communities, they will be eligible for aid to them resulting in their net tax capacity loss due to the flood events. This section also has a couple of other tax provisions that will be potentially helpful to residents, business owners, and homeowners. It waives the penalties for second-half property tax payments made before December 30th, 2010, waives the penalty. It extends the agricultural homestead classification for 2 years for property abandoned as a result of flood damage. And it waives the application requirement for the local option disaster abatement, homestead disaster credit, and local option disaster credits.
Okay. Ms. Morgan?
I believe that concludes discussion or a walkthrough of Article 1 of the bill. Mr. President, at this time I'd like to yield to Senator Scogin and ask him to walk you through Article 2.
Senator Scogin, Article 2. Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Lynch. Article 2, although it's called the Wadena Tornado Article, it actually holds pieces for several parts of the state of Minnesota. As you know, on June 17th, when the F4 tornadoes came to Wadena, they started in Albert Lee that day and actually entered or exited the state up in the Mentor area. So two of the provisions that you see in that $6.6 million disaster relief apply to several parts of the state. The $5.2 million from the general fund to the Department of Public Safety, which is designed to try to match what FEMA did not pay for. There was about $35 million in uninsured public infrastructure that was destroyed. $32 million of that was in the Wadena area, but there was some in other parts of the state, and this $5.2 million will help to cover some of that publicly owned and capital improvement projects. And then the Department of Education piece for just under $700,000 is also available to those communities who are hard hit. When the storm came through the city of Wadena, it did take the Wadena Deer Creek High School, it took the public swimming pool, it took the community center, the ice arena, the school bus garage, many of the Wadena County Fairground buildings, so a lot of the public infrastructure was damaged, and the school now is housing students in three different locations, along with their staff and offices, which have been moved over to the elementary school, and we have just found that we are in need of paying for some of this additional pupil transportation, as well as some of the operations of for the disaster relief until the school gets their school rebuilt, which they plan to start in March of next year. The third piece there is actually for the Wadena area community. The communities of Elmora, Bluffton, Deer Creek, and Wadena were all hit by the F4 tornadoes that came through that day. And rather than build each of those public pieces separately, there is a desire by the Wadena 2.0 committee and the redesign team to possibly push some of those buildings together, build it in the footprint or the shadow of the new high school, share some infrastructure, heating and cooling, do some green work, share some parking, find a way to put those facilities back in the community but make them more functional as well. So the $750,000 that you see in the bill here is for planning to make sure that we size that appropriately and build something that the community can sustain and that the region will be able to use. And members, I want to just quickly thank Senator Pogamiller and Senator Lynch, Senator Cohen, Senator Senjum, and Senator Perry, and of course their staff for helping to put this in this bill and for giving us an opportunity to start the rebuilding process in the Wadena area, and I would appreciate your support on House File 1.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'll move on to Article 3 of the bill. Members, this is, begins on page 17, and this section of the bill deals with the funding mechanism of the bill. One of the handouts that you have available at your desk is a sheet that gives the spreadsheet for the bill, so you might find that helpful as in, as a reference. Section 1 and 2 of the bill, or in Article 3, has the net effect of reducing appropriations to the Department of Human Services. This is made possible by the extension of the enhanced federal medical assistance percentage, or FMAP, as we commonly refer to it. And this was a part of the 2009 Federal Stimulus Act. And this increased federal assistance reduces the net need for our state appropriation from both the general fund and the healthcare access fund. So it's the flexibility that's being afforded to us, that's being afforded to the state of Minnesota through the receipt of those additional FMAP dollars. Let me be clear that in no way, shape, or form does anything in this section of the bill or in the entirety of this bill impact services in the Department of Human Services. Section 3, Article 3, provides that if the forecast would show a negative balance, then the value of the general fund appropriation in this bill is, in essence, canceled from the cash flow account to the general fund. This allows us assurance that nothing contained in this bill will contribute to the budget becoming unbalanced. I mentioned that this bill was the result of negotiations over several days with members of both bodies and the executive branch. And I'm pleased to say that in this area, there was nearly immediate and unanimous support for these provisions. And finally, Section 4 of Article 3 provides some conformity so that the federal requirements will now be consistent with our state requirements. Mr. President, I believe that concludes a walkthrough of the three articles in the bill, and we would be happy to stand for any questions.
Further discussion on House File Number 1. Further discussion, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I certainly appreciate the effort that has been put forth on flood relief for people who have suffered from the tragedies that we've had in Minnesota this summer. And I understand that, you know, we've been able to move rather quickly to provide some relief, and hopefully it'll get into people's communities and lives rapidly. But there is something missing in here that I would like to call your attention to. And I was working on it before we received the federal declaration, and then realized that Scott County was not included in that federal declaration, so that's why it's not in the bill today. But it is something that deserves attention from this body. And I laid some photos on your desk of the river crossings between Scott and Carver counties. And each one of those crossings was closed again this fall for several weeks. And they were closed for 4 weeks this spring when we had our spring flooding, meaning that there is a long distance between river crossings that, in fact, from Belle Plaine, you have to cross into Sibley County, and from Shakopee, you have to cross into Hennepin County, and we can't cross at all into Carver County, which is the adjacent county. And it is a major economic problem for our community. We have traffic backed up for miles trying to get over the only remaining bridges that are left open when we have this type of flooding. And it is a drain on our communities. It is certainly stressful. It has been building up over the years. And it seems as we have more of these 100-year floods that it is becoming more of a common occurrence. And my initiative was to request money for MnDOT to study and put forward a proposal to make at least one more of those crossings floodproof, or raise them to a level so that they could meet the current record flood level. So we would have a road going through one more of those areas, whether it would be from Scott County into Chaska, into Carver County Highway 41 or 101, or even the Jordan. It's a county road, but it serves a lot of people again. And so we need to keep calling attention to that need. And it is frustrating because we, at the same time, have been working to develop another major river crossing along the Highway 41 corridor. And even as we were looking at this flooding situation, MnDOT was calling back that project, saying it needed to be reassessed. And that just is not a practical way to look at this. We have got a real problem. To be closed for 6 weeks of a year is just too long, and we don't know how often this can happen. I do appreciate the money in this bill for RIM, which could hold some of this water back, because we had 4 inches of rain in Scott County. If it had only been that rainfall, we would have not had our our bridges closed, our roadways closed. But, you know, a week later, here comes all the water. And we reached record levels. The Belle Plaine Bridge, the water was under the trusses. The state was right there monitoring that practically 24 hours a day to see if they had to close that one as well. They put up barriers on 35. We could have been completely cut off from the rest of the state if those two bridges had gone under as well. And it was a difficult circumstance, and we must address that in the upcoming session.
Further discussion on House File Number 1. The Secretary will... Hi, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Roebling, your point's well taken. I'm pleased that in our last bonding bill, we had $50 million in there for flood mitigation efforts across the state. So I suspect that the conversations will continue, and I hope that we'll continue to make those kinds of necessary investments. I wanted to just point out or clarify that those SBA outreach centers for individual homeowners are opening in Truman, Owatonna, and Mazeppa. With that, Mr. President, I thank members for their time and attention to the two federal disasters that are plaguing our state at this point in time. The agencies have done a great work in working with the legislature in helping to expedite this project and bring it forward. And I think that you've got a good bill before you, so I ask for your support.
Senator Limmer, or Senator Perry.
Mr. President and members, I just want to add in, as when I think of my Senate district with Owatonna and Medford and Faribault, the impact that they had and the feeling of the citizens. They've been waiting for this day, and unfortunately, I believe we had to wait longer than we probably should have for that presidential declaration. But they are waiting for us to do the right thing, and I believe this bill is the right thing, and I agree with Senator Lynch on that. This is the bill they've been waiting for. I'm hoping we can get through this bill because they are in need, the businesses are in need, the entire area is in need, so I believe this is the right direction, and it is a good bill.
Secretary will give the bill Senator Senjum. Take Senator Rosen's.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. Now, I'll be brief. I too want to echo my support for this bill. Tell you what, September 22nd to 24th will be a period of time that, at least in southern Minnesota, they will talk about those days 100 years from now. The idea that 10 inches of rain over many, many counties, tens of thousands of acres, converged over certain rivers and gorges, and in my case, the Orinoco Dam and the bridge, and going on down to Zumbro Falls and to Hammond, to absolutely devastate those towns, and frankly, devastate the lives of many people. If there were any regrets, I think, on this bill, I think it will leave even yet many people behind in terms of our ability to help them for lack, if you will, of the federal individual assistance grants. But we're doing the best we can, Mr. President and members, and I would urge unanimous support for this bill.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I will keep my comments brief, but I do want to, number one, thank everybody that worked on the bill, and also just make comment how these communities have stepped up and they take care of each other. And I just want to say all five of my counties that I'm honored to serve were greatly affected by the tornadoes and by the floods from side to side. But I tell you what, the little town of Henderson that's not in my district shipped all their sandbags to Truman because of the 13 and a half inches of rain they received there. And the entire town was flooded. Now that's pretty amazing, knowing that Henderson was going to get that floodwaters a few days later, and it happened. But I just want to thank everybody for that. And as you can see, the St. Clair Treatment Center, I have pictures there. And I want to thank Senator Cohen and Senator Tomasoni for letting me talk about the nursing home, the care center issues, whether dealing with the surcharge tax or the Minnesota Investment Fund, and I hope to work on that with many people across the aisle this coming session. So again, thank you to everybody.
Erickson Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank Senator Lynch and other leaders here in the Senate for working on this bill. I come from southeastern Minnesota, where we were dealing with the same kind of disaster bill 3 years ago. And I want to remind members that Winona County, Fillmore County, and Houston County are still recovering. It's been 3 years, but we prioritize projects. And one thing I learned about these natural disasters is that there are three distinct periods: the immediate rescue and recovery period, then you move into pretty quick recovery projects, and then there's a lot of long-term recovery. And we're still building and constructing. And I've talked to Senator Lynch and other members, and I think we need to continue in January when we come back to make sure we have embedded in the future recovery bills some funding for long-term disaster response. I've learned how vital the nonprofit sector is in recovering in southeastern Minnesota, and we need to make sure that those efforts are fully funded so we can have case management and people there working once the immediate volunteers go back home and some of the disaster funding from the bills dissipates. We need to make sure we're there long-term to help these communities get back on their feet. They're going to be working for many years.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I, too, rise in support of the bill, and I think when we talk about our state in a time like this, we're all neighbors, and I believe it's very, very important we all come together and help out our neighbors as we would want to be helped if we were in this circumstance. So I support this bill, and we'll be voting for it. I urge everyone else to as well. I just want to make a comment to follow up what Senator Erickson Ropes also said, that as we think to the long term, and I appreciate what Senator Lynch is doing in this bill, that while we're helping our neighbors in need, we're also thinking about the future and the long term and trying to do whatever we can to prevent this kind of devastation in the future. And we can't lose sight of that we need to, as we take care of the immediate crisis, we also need to invest in the future and make sure that we do everything we can to minimize these kinds of disasters. And the DNR gave me a map that I thought, or a little chart that I thought was really compelling, that talked about the fact that in the last decade, in the same area in southeastern Minnesota, in less than 10 years, there's been three quote-unquote, thousand-year flood events. So if this is the new normal, we need to look at what are we doing in our state to prevent this from happening in the future so we don't repeat this story and have other communities face this devastation. And there's a lot of things that we can do, so I will continue to work on that as we move forward. But I want to thank Senator Lynch for putting some good things in the bill that will help to restore wetlands through RIM and some other things that will help reduce flooding in the future.
Senator Murphy.
No, thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. President, I rise to thank Senator Lynch and Sinjum and the others that helped put this together, the majority leader, and the governor's office, who was more than helpful through this crisis. I do believe that, you know, putting all partisan politics aside, I believe that Governor Puente has acted responsibly in these times when we've had natural disasters strike the state of Minnesota. And whether it's been the floods up in Senator Stumpf's district, Senator Lynch's district, or Lanxess district, the floods from 07, the various tornadoes that we've had, I just want to thank the governor's office and his folks for responding the way that they've done. And that kind of shows what we do here in Minnesota when a tragedy strikes any place, whether between Ada and Zumbrota, it doesn't matter. We're Minnesotans and we respond. There were a lot of people that came down, especially to Zumbro Falls, from the metropolitan area, from places like Breckenridge, as far away as Breckenridge, to lend a hand and help some of these folks clean up. And that is something that we should embrace and be proud of. And we should embrace and be proud of this package that we've put here together here today. Is it perfect? No. Just like in 07, we found out some things this time that have made the bill better. The next time that a tragedy befalls our state, you're going to find that there's going to be a few things that we can do better. We can make sure that Senator Roebling's bridges get built to prevent a disaster in her neck of the woods. It's the same thing with Senator Rosen and some of the things that she talked about with nursing care. So there's always a little thing that we can do a little bit better. And I am confident leaving this body knowing that we've got the right people in the right place at the right time. The one thing that saddens me, beyond all else, is the federal individual assistance that the state of Minnesota doesn't qualify for. Now, you look at all the disasters that have happened in the United States, whether it's a hurricane event in New Orleans, or a hurricane event in Jacksonville, Florida, or brush fires in California. Earthquakes, landslides, they happen all the time. Very few of these tragedies that we see on national TV, very few don't qualify for this federal individual assistance. But the state of Minnesota doesn't. And here's why. Because in the state of Minnesota, we take care of our own. And that's what the feds say. First, their formula for providing this assistance: one, if you can get your hands on it, and I haven't seen it, and I know people who deal with this directly on a daily basis that haven't seen their policy. It's based on fuzzy math and criteria that, like I said, nobody really knows what it is. And so Minnesota doesn't qualify. So it's okay to fix people's homes that get ravaged in a hurricane or a brush fire or a landslide or an earthquake, but if there's a flood in Minnesota, the federal government's not going to help us be partners with the people who are still going to be outside when the snow starts to fly. I'm glad that I live in the state of Minnesota where we take care of ourselves, because if we had to depend on the federal government to get our constituents back in their homes, get their heat back on, get their electricity back on, their water running and their toilets flushing, we'd have to wait 2, 3, 4 years if it happens at all. So we should be proud that we're Minnesotans. And I'm proud that I know each and every one of you.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. President and members, until the budget started to go south really badly about 2003, we had a standing appropriation in our budget so that we didn't have to come back for special sessions to help out when communities get in this trouble. When we get a couple of pennies to put together, little jingle in the bottom of the sock, we better start putting that fund back together again.
Further discussion on House File Number 1. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File Number 1, a bill for an act relating to disaster assistance, authorizing spending to acquire and better public land and buildings and other improvements of a capital nature with certain conditions, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 66 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to.
Senators Pogamiller and Senjum introduce Senate Resolution Number 3, a Senate resolution relating to adjournment of the special session.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I'd like to hold on that for 1 second. Senator Dibble would like to ask for the floor for a minute.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to a point of personal privilege.
State your point of personal privilege, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. As you have probably determined, we're not going to be taking up any bills relating to bullying that's occurring in our schools and our school districts and our communities today. And that's fine. I'm happy to be here today, happy to support the communities that have experienced these natural disasters. I myself have been through that with my own community in Minneapolis a number of years ago, and I understand the level of leadership that is asked of us in these moments and how hard that work is. And I've been very, very clear all along as I've been talking about bringing this issue forward that this was not at all intended to be a distraction, but rather a complement to a real crisis that's occurring in our school districts. Members, we've seen just in one school district 7 suicides among youth, and most of those have been the target of bullying. Members, the point of personal privilege I'd like to rise to is there have been some questions about my motives, suggestions by members in this chamber that I'm acting on some sort of personal agenda, that I'm participating in gubernatorial politics or gotcha politics. None of that is the case, and I regret that those statements have been made, and I frankly think that has compounded the tragedy and the reality that people are experiencing in their lives and in the life of our community. So I just ask everyone, please, let's have some grace with each other. We're 2 weeks away from the election. I understand the intensity of this moment, but we have tragedies that we've experienced in all of our communities. We've lost precious, precious lives. Every kid, regardless, needs to be loved and welcomed and affirmed and come to school knowing that they're going to get a good education. So members, we're going to step away from this subject today, but we're going to keep working on it. And we're going to send a message of hope, because that's what these kids need. They need hope. And we're here as leaders to provide hope and tell them we're going to do what we can to make it better. Thank you.
Senator. Senator Pogamiller, you want to move?
Mr. President, I would move adoption of the Resolution 3.
Okay. On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Without objection, Senator Rest will be excused from today's session all day. Senator Pogamiller.
All the work at the desk is complete.
That's complete, yes. You ought to
Members, thank you for your good work here today, and good luck in the coming weeks for those of you running for re-election. Hope to see you all in January. And Mr. President, I would Senator Senjum, thank you for all your work with the governor's office on the flood relief legislation. So, Mr. President, I'd move the Senate do now adjourn, sine die.
On the motion to adjourn, sine die. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate's adjourned, sine die.